Radio Mike interviews Caravan of Thieves. On tour more or less around the country since February from Connecticut. Recently, they played a show in Atlanta and stopped by to talk.
I'm Fuzz, and we're with the Caravan of Thieves. And this is Carrie next to me. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Oh, and we're kind of a gypsy folk swing type group out of Connecticut.
Yeah, it started off, Fuzz and I had a duo, acoustic duo for a while, and right. Then we decided to change up our sound and style and had met Ben Dean, who's the violinist, and Brian Anderson, who's a bass player on the Connecticut music scene. So we grabbed them up and said, hey, we've got this idea, you want to try it out? And after our first rehearsal playing together, it really clicked, and that was 4 years ago.
What was the original music style, or was it a little bit of that and you just built on it?
Originally, we were kind of a mix of things, but it was a combination of, say, like a pop, indie, folk type thing, and it was based around Carrie and I just playing guitars and singing. We had a good rhythm to it and a good energy to it, and I think that's what drew us and led us to wanting to do more of the gypsy sound because that's and the swing music because it's got a good rhythm to it and a lot of energy.
That's cool. So you've been doing this for 4 years as a band?
That's correct, yeah.
And you guys tour a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're here right now on tour.
Where haven't you been?
We haven't been yet. to South America.
That's someplace you should probably go.
But we have been pretty much the Arctic Circle.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Canada or?
Yeah,
Canada,
we played up in Baffin Island. We did a festival up there.
That must have been interesting. In the summertime.
Yes.
It wasn't the summertime.
They're not very festive in the winter there.
I can only imagine.
But in the summer,
they are making the most of every hour of sunlight. So
yeah, they stay up
bonfires
up all night. I don't know.
Night,
I feel like they don't sleep.
Is it a 6 month day and 6 month night?
Pretty much.
In most of Alaska.
Yeah.
Yes. It was.
Little kids playing soccer at 3 a.m. because they can.
They can't
for this time of year,
It's a whole different lifestyle up there.
But typically we stay in this country, in this country, and we tour around now coast to coast. We just did our first coast to coast tour this spring.
How long driving everywhere?
We've been
everywhere.
Out since February.
Wow.
So
yeah,
that gives you an idea.
We covered most of it.
May?
Yeah.
Has it paid off?
Yeah.
That's excellent.
We're finding freaks in every corner of the country.
Of course.
Yeah, we seek them out, seeking the freaks.
If I can remember, I want to ask you about Catherine Dunn book a little later. I can't remember what the name of the book is, but it's about circus freaks.
Hmm.
This family who raises up children to be circus freaks and turns them into circus freaks.
I thought the movie Freaks was pretty cool. The one that was made.
The one in the 1930s? The one that what's his name did? I need to see that. I've seen pieces of it.
It's really well done, and I think some of
for
it
the time,
kind of,
yeah.
Some of it kind of inspired us a little bit there, and
that's cool.
It's just an interesting premise too.
What's your earliest musical memories, each of you?
My earliest musical memories are listening first. I remember as a little kid listening to the soundtrack to Goldfinger. The James Bond and loving that was I couldn't get enough of that and then I guess my earliest performing memories would be I remember playing a high school dance and it was probably about 14 and I did a lot of stuff like Billy Idol and U2 and things like that.
Either because you wanted to or because you had to, and you had no choice.
It didn't matter to me what it was. We could have been playing Mary Had a Little Lamb all night. I was so excited to be with the guitar in my hands and playing music,
I feel like music for me kind of precedes my memory because my parents tell me that I started singing when I was 2, but I just started, I just loved it. And my grandmother was a gospel singer, and so I would try to, my father was a performer. He wrote and played guitar and sang, and my sister sang. And so it was kind of always part of me growing up. But I think one of my earliest memories of something that I really latched on to was an old cassette. I had a single of the Beach Boys, Kokomo. I think I was not, 8 or 7.
Not one of my favorites of theirs, but it's still good.
A very young child, and on the back of it was "Tutti Frutti" by Little Richard.
That's a good song.
I would flip that around a lot as a kid.
Does your family still play?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Earliest musical influences.
I think for me, probably the earliest musical influence that I think got me to want to play guitar was Angus Young from AC/DC. And I think what made me find him so interesting was just the fact that he looked cool and he sounded cool and he was just insane to watch. I remember seeing the early days of MTV when I was, that's when I was, starting to, or when I first saw that, and he was, just watching him jump around and he was, I guess, like Little Richard on speed or something. So it just was amazing to watch him. And the whole time he would be running around, he'd still be playing that guitar, better than most. I just was impressed with that. And I said, this is something I'd love to be able to do. It just looks so exciting and fun.
He's from another very, very interesting musical family. His brother's in the band, his older brother, and I still don't remember his name to this day, was, if I'm not mistaken, in the Bo Brummels or Left Bank, one of those bands.
Oh, really?
And then produced and did a few other things afterwards and got them into the music business.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know about that. I didn't know there was a third brother. I knew about Malcolm being the older.
And an odd musical connection. My grandfather was always fascinated with bagpipes. And their 1976 album has a song on it called something to the effect, it takes a lot to get to the top of rock and roll. And
in
the middle of that song, there's this long bagpipe riff. It still amazes me to this day. And in the middle of this really, really, really hard rock and roll song, are these bagpipes.
Wow. See, the early days of AC/DC to me were really interesting, and I just love the story about how he used to show up at the rehearsals because he was the young one in his schoolboy uniform.
Oh, and that's how it came up.
And then they were like, this just... you got to keep doing this, this is the look. And they were definitely what I thought they were, a rock band who was not afraid to do something a little different and who weren't afraid to, they weren't taking themselves too seriously. It seemed like, they experimented and they were fun, they were fun rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yes.
Earliest musical influence.
I'd have to say my father. Because he introduced me to a lot of music growing up and would always he'd be playing his guitar and say, hey, find a harmony or sing along with this. And, expose me to a lot of great music, like Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Beatles, Pink Floyd, Indigo Girls. He was all over the place, classical to classic rock and folk and everything. So it just, he kind of sparked that, in me. And then I kind of...
may or may not be a long shot, I don't know. But South By may be a long shot as well, but have you tried getting into South By?
We actually haven't tried to get into South By. We had a few opportunities to do it last year, and we didn't do it just because it was financially not...
Yeah.
We weren't going to just go feasible out for that.
That's what most people do. They've got to make a tour out of it to make it...
Yeah, and it just didn't line up with what our schedule was.
We were in the studio working on the Funhouse album at that time, and so we said, it's not worth it for us to take all this time off to go down there and come back just to play a couple shows. And even though we understand the magnitude of the
I feel like
South
you could
Southwest,
get lost in that.
It's a zoo.
It's a zoo, and I figured if we don't have like a really good opportunity, then it doesn't seem worth it to me.
But here's the deal with South By, which is what a lot of bands do, and sometimes they apply, or most of the time they apply, and they don't get it, or they do get in. But outside of South By Southwest, there's this whole universe that crops up overnight, about a week or two. Probably about a week ahead of time, that crops up around it of non alternative anti-South by Southwest events. And bands play those.
Wow.
Every year. I paid for one show the entire 5 years that I lived there.
Wow.
And I wanted to see Mary Weiss of the Shangri-Las perform.
How'd that go?
It was excellent.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and another friend of mine came the first year that I was there and paid to pay me back for crashing at my place to see Reckless Eric.
Well,
that was fun.
Well, yeah,
that was fun. But all the other shows that I went to, I either got on the guest list at the first year, but after that, it got a little more difficult to get on guest lists. Mm-hmm. I just went to the free shows, and there were a lot of showcases and free shows, and the bands that played the showcases, the official ones, they played the free stuff. So there are opportunities.
Yeah, and I think we'll take a look at that for this coming year.
Otherwise, if you want to apply, I think October, November is the time to start looking, because that's the time that they start taking applications.
Well, you know, maybe it's in the cards for 2013.
Yeah. But I mean, you guys go everywhere. You've been practically everywhere except for South America and maybe Europe, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, we haven't gone overseas yet. We've only played North America. You know, yeah. There's still a lot of Canada we haven't.
Still a lot of ground to cover. Yeah,
and in Europe, but we've started to get some interest in Italy now. There's been as a matter of fact, we just got a.
Where?
Do you know where that's based?
I'm not even sure exactly. I've been seeing different things pop up in different places, like on Facebook, Twitter. There's a magazine.
Review of the album on an Italian magazine.
Yeah, it's called Onda Rock. Onda. Rock, I think, and anyway, I think they just randomly stumbled upon us. Maybe I don't know how they found it, they did a review, and now they want to do an interview, and then they're starting to see. Ever since then, there's been like a lot of people contacting us through Facebook and posting things on Twitter about us. So I'm like,
maybe, we can't understand.
Well, yeah, we had a whole review. I asked them one of our.
It was all in Italian.
It was all in Italian, yeah. And I should understand this. You know,
it's your people.
My family's all from Sicily and Naples. So,
do you know where? Have you been back to visit?
No, unfortunately, this is something that we need to do. It's been whether the band does or not.
Over 20 years. And my grandparents I expected them to die shortly after I left the last time, but they died in 1998. And I had an uncle who's died and an aunt who's died. My cousins are no longer babies. Città Sant'Angelo Pescara in Abruzzo, straight across on the other side from Rome.
Oh, okay.
And on my mother's side in northern Italy, close to the French-Italian border.
Oh, okay.
And I have dual citizenship.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Wow. I heard I can get that, too. And then
How far back does it go?
My grandparents were born in Italy.
Did they ever become American citizens?
They did. When? I mean, I think they did through Ellis Island. They were
before or after your parents were born?
I don't know.
Go to the Italian consulate website, look at the parameters. The New York website is the one I'm familiar with, and I've seen the one for Pennsylvania, but the New York one and I think the DC one are more thorough. The cutoff, the last time I looked to study this, if you take the female relative, she has to have been born after the 1st of January 1948. Stupid sexist rule. I don't know where it comes from. I don't understand it. I don't agree with
born
it.
Born after?
After.
Like his mom or?
Whatever, grandmother or whatever. Oh. So it's easier to take the male progenitor, relative, and trace that down. But you've got to do it with birth certificates, marriage certificates to prove you're legitimate, and birth certificates on down, and then naturalization papers as well, if those exist. But if your father or your mother was born after your grandfather became a U.S. citizen. If she was born before he became a U.S. citizen, you're in.
You're in.
Otherwise, it's a little more difficult. My sisters don't have it. I'm not sure if they're interested in it, but they've never tried. So I don't know how it would work for them. It's something to look into.
I'll definitely have to look into it. I know my mom was born... You know, a while ago. So that could have, it's possible they could have.
Because I don't know how any of that stuff, and I still don't know because my great grandparents And my great-great-grandparents on my grandmother's, on my American grandmother's side, they came over here. I don't know when they became U.S. citizens. I have no idea. But I haven't looked into it either.
So. Well, maybe this is our way in. We could use my grandparents and
you get a passport, and at least one band member has the legal right to be in Europe.
But if we're married, then
after 3 years,
once he gets it,
3 years, that's the limit. My mother could have got it, didn't find out. There was a court case in the 1970s that the U.S. lost because the U.S. used to prohibit citizenship. Now it's up to the other country.
Oh, okay.
So the U.S. can't do anything about it. They don't care for it. They don't like it, but they can't do anything about it. But we're way off track.
Yes.
back to the band. So you wanted to, we're going to tour Europe at some point.
Some point.
What else is in the works, in the plans, and where are you going from here? And
well, we're going to finish up this run tonight's in in Atlanta,
yeah.
Decatur. Then we got Nashville and some other places around the Midwest. We're going up to a festival near Chicago, called Summer Camp,
nice.
and then we just got a few other things kind of
bunch of festivals this summer.
Yeah, a lot of festivals up and down the coast.
You're going to play all of them or just some of them?
As many as will have us.
We have a bunch.
Yeah. We've got shows every weekend through the summer, just about, maybe one or two that we're not. And then we've got to end the summer out with a big festival in the Pagosa Springs, Colorado that we like. It's called the Four Corners mm-hmm. Folk Festival, mm. and it's a really good one. Then we're going to do another pretty big tour in the fall. I think most of October and part of November we're going to be out doing the loop again, probably come through here even.
Have you tried doing the science fiction cons and those kinds of things, because those can be kind of lucrative.
Really? I hadn't heard.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had music.
They do. Hmm. They do. There's a band, I can't remember if called Frenchie and the Punk. I'm not sure if that's the name of the band still or not, but I met them at Dragon Con here a couple of Septembers ago, and they play them all over the place.
Really? That's interesting. Well, I don't know if this is related or not, but in my mind it is. We've been getting a lot of attention on the steampunk scene, you know.
Seriously?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been...
It counts.
I feel like it might count, you know. So
before we knew what steampunk was, people were telling us that we were steampunk, and it was like, what? that was 3 or 4 years ago when we started this, because I guess the way that we dress in our show, you know, it's like... Yeah. They come up and they're like, you guys are steampunk. You're totally. I'm like, we got to check out this steampunk thing. Because like, enough people had said it that it was like,
all
right, what
forums,
is
forums. There's all kinds of websites.
Yeah, and it's really grown even over the last few years that we've seen.
When you go to the cons, do you see people dressed?
Yeah, they're dressed up. Yeah, well, we
write up in Zarpozo, which is a...
Take advantage of it.
Well, you know, we've been reciprocal with it.
We don't turn down any audience.
Well, you know,
if people want to enjoy our music, we're not going to judge or select, you know, be like.
Well, I mean, it's what we're doing is got a kind of a broad range of different things. And so we figure, you know, we got to find the different audiences out there who get it. Yeah. You know, it's going to be some people who are into folk music, some people who are into steampunk, some people who are into just regular old rock, pop, folk. Yeah. And you know, and so
far it's been all ages. You know, we have some hardcore toddlers. And
that is cool.
All the way up to grandparents. Yeah. You know, someone sent a video to us of their two and a half year old singing one of our songs, and it was one of the cutest things ever.
Yeah, you
like,
can find
she was
it,
like, acting it out and like
You can look on YouTube. Yeah. You type "Shim Sham Caravan of Thieves" and "Little Girl" or something. There's a little girl sitting on her couch going "Shim Sham Honey, Shim Sham Honey."
Like she's like, it's crazy. It's got like one of those little ponytails on it. Yeah.
Oh my.
So it's so far we haven't seen an age it's not really working with. That's good.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a. You know, and there's certainly a lot of older people at the shows, which, you know, we weren't sure where this was going to fall. But, you know, we find that like when, you know, for some of the like 50s, 60s age group, they come out to see us, we are, you know, they might not be attracted to go see, say, a punk rock show. You know, that might be just a little too over the top for someone in that age group, for most anyway, even though some of the punk rockers are that age anyway, the original, generally speaking. And then, but we provide a not so over the top thing like that, but it's still a high energy thing. And I think that they're looking to have something fun. They don't want to, there's some people in that age group that don't want to just see kind of an older, like kind of like a real sort of mellow folk show or something like that. They'll go to it because it's the, you know, it's what's available to them a lot of times, but we're coming in sort of from the back end and being like, we could give you this but also make it a lot more fun and entertaining and a little more high energy, you know? So it works. It works for them.
Did it just happen that way, or did you guys plan it?
No, it just happened that way.
Yeah, we just started throwing it out there to as many different, just cast a wide net, you know?
Because the touring, the albums and everything, it all seems to work to the point where you're on the road for a good long time.
Well, all those things that we do, I think, are essential. I don't think any one thing is enough for us to be doing what we do. We knew going into this, we're doing a music that could be a niche-y kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want it to get pigeonholed. So we've been saying yes to a folk festival, a jam band festival, we'll do them because we know we're not going to be the next top jam band because we're not really a jam band. We might appeal to some of their audiences, you know, but like that's not our scene, but we're not going to turn them away if they want to enjoy our music and come to the show. So we're not going to be the next, you know, indie rock band or something. And there's all these scenes, but it's like, if we're not going to be on the top of one of those scenes, we have to just kind of be within, you know, pull from everything, all of every scene. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's
which is kind of how we've been in our personal lives too. We were talking about this the other day, how even in high school and stuff, how there's all these, you know, little cliques and things, and we were ones to kind of just have friends in a lot of different cliques. This is my friends, and I'm not, you know, excluding everybody else. We just like people who we like, and kind of how we are with music is we like the music that we like to do, and that's what we're gonna do, and then whoever else wants to come and enjoy that with us,
I think it's how our personality is, and I think, you know, music and art will reflect your personality, and we're not the kind of people that feel like we need to be exclusively part of any clique or style or you know, group of people. Like, you know, that was something that was quick lived for me when I got into high school. My first reaction as a guitar player into rock music was I'm going to be in the heavy metal kids clique, you know? And that lasted about 2 years. And then I was like, this is really stupid, you know? And so I just kind of just tried best I can to not be stuck in any one thing. This is what I do. I'm hardcore this one thing. Like, it's kind of cuts you off from the rest of the world. You know, there's so much out there that you're missing.
Most really good heavy metal bands and heavy metal guitarists, they know all that other music.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing that the guitar player from, I think it was Exodus, who I remember was like, as a kid, was like a real, like, kind of thrashy kind of band. Someone told me, oh, yeah, they were in the studio and they were recording a jazz album, like a real, like, straight up jazz album. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of, I think I'm talking about the right band, I might be somebody else, but something like that. It was I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, I was like, it's nice to hear that they could do. And I remember hearing some guitar players from heavy metal bands say things like, oh, my favorite guitar player is Wes Montgomery or Django Reinhardt for that matter. And you know, like, okay, yeah, you could tell that they if they were just stuck in that one thing, I think they may not have succeeded because you need to be able to see a little bit outside your box for sure.
Mm-hmm. Where is your website?
It's caravanofthieves.com. All one word.
Easy.
Easy.
I before E.
Yeah, I before E.
Facebook.
Yes.
Twitter.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Do we still do MySpace?
It's on there. Yeah,
we
do it with the big quotes around the do, but like it's, you know, we keep it updated because we know some people might go, oh, well, let's see, you know, I don't know. I don't know if anybody goes to it, but we just figure just in case.
Facebook is the place where it's really the spot,
Yeah, that's where most of our
website.
Traffic.
Our website is very interactive and has
links to all that other stuff.
Yeah, it has absolutely a lot of content on there. So.
Yeah, we try to make the website actually the best place you can go because it's, first of all, the tour dates page has got way more information than any other place you can go on the internet, all okay. about the, you know, and then we have a media page, which is great, where you can actually listen to all the albums, and look at the lyrics from them. So yeah, it's excellent. Kind of a, you know, excellent. Kind of a one-stop kind of place, but.
Any last parting thoughts?
Run away from home and join the caravan.
Yeah. and be freaky.
There were two other questions that I usually ask, and I forgot to ask them.